who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Here's this week's message.
Before I read the scripture today, I want to kind of begin with a story. A story that began actually last week. I talked a little bit last week in my last sermon about from Isaiah 40 when he, in the passage where it says God will make straight paths in the wilderness. One of the things I talked about was going from a walk with my son Alex and seeing indeed the wooden path over the swampy, marshy areas that had been made for us and that helped make a straight path a very smooth walk for us. And from that trail, I said to Alex, hey, next week, let's do this again, but let's go even further. Let's go as far as we can go. I have a hiking backpack. We'll put in a couple bottles of water. We'll put in some trail mix. And we're just going to go. We're going to do the whole crosstown trail. And it'll be great. And I can call your mom afterwards. If we're tired, she can pick us up at the end of the trail. And because it's going to be a long hike. And I know Alex is just 7 years old, but he loves it. We had so much fun on that hike. He was climbing everything he could find. We spent half the time running, the other time walking. He would see a stream. He'd jump across. I'd get nervous, but I'd remember that, you know, he's been doing like parkour since he was two. He's been in like a ninja warrior kind of classes last summer. And like, he's like, he knows what he's doing. He would see a stream. He'd jump. I'm like, he's getting his feet wet. We're going home. I know it. But somehow, you know, he'd jump. He'd stretch out with his feet, not his arms. And then as his feet landed, his whole body would just roll forward and he'd stick the landing. And I'd just be like, wow. I would have never made that jump at his age. And so he always impressed me with that. And so I said, hey, we're going to do this long walk next week. Let's do that sometime. He said, okay. Monday came. It's the next week. He's like, Dad, I'm ready. Let's go. I'm like, all right, let's go. And so I got my bag. We got our water bottles on there and put in some, put in a snack to have as well. And as soon as we get on the trail, I was like, hey, can we stop and have a snack already? I'm like, we haven't even got as far as we got last time. And then he's like, hey, here's that tree again. And I started saying, hey, so this is a longer walk and you're going to want to pace yourself. If you climb every tree again, you're going to be too tired for the long walk. But I realized between holding off on the snacks and warning him about climbing, I was taking away all the excitement that he had about the hike. I was taking away all the excitement. He wasn't encouraged to do the things he was doing that brought fun the last time we went on the journey. So I said, okay, I'm going to step back. And I'm going to stop telling him what to climb and what not to climb because it's completely changing the tone of this. And all I want to do is just enjoy this time with him. Just walk this path with him and laugh and have fun in the same way that we did before. So we got to this one point where he sees this dead tree that has fallen. He's like, oh, Dad, that tree fell down against a big tree. That's going to hold me. Can I climb that? I said, yeah, go ahead and climb that. And so he starts to climb that, and he starts to get high. And I got a picture of this for you. And I picked the best picture I could of that I took. So I stayed on the trail, and it's kind of hard to see. But there he is climbing this tree. Now, my trail is just a little bit higher up from the base of that tree. And he's climbing up that tree, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty good. And I'm like, he can go. He's like, at one point in time, he's climbing. He says, Dad, there's hardly any branches here that can hold me. I'm going to have to go higher. And I was like, okay, well, that's some interesting logic, but all right. If you think you can find better branches there, I mean, I'm standing off on the trail. In fact, if I walk just a little bit to the left, that clump of trees kind of obscures my vision of just how high he's going. And I did. I ended up walking just a little bit further. And I'm looking around at the trees and at nature around me. And he's climbing higher and higher. And at one point in time, I hear a snap. And I hear a cry out, Daddy! And I'm like, uh-oh, something's wrong. And now there is that tree in the way, and there's the brushes, so I can't go straight. I have to go around. And I immediately start to run around to try to find him. And I run around a little bit, and I don't see him. And I'm like, uh-oh, He's not crying out anymore and I don't see him. Has he fallen? Is he hurt? Is he conscious? What's going on? For just a couple seconds as I still run around, I realize the reason I couldn't see him is he had climbed up even further behind those trees that is obscuring the view. And I'm like, and so I run around and I see him dangling from the tree, holding on with just his hands. And I run over to see him, and I'm getting ready to catch him, but I see the branch he must have been on had snapped, had fallen, impaled itself in the wood straight up and down, and it is right underneath him. And he is out of my reach. He is like, I reach up, I cannot touch his shoes. He's at least... I'm using like a basketball kind of analogy. He's got to be at least 10 feet up. I cannot reach him even a jump. I can't believe he got that high. Like, if you can't quite tell, is that high? Is that or not? I don't know. I couldn't tell either from where I was at that point in time. And so I realized before I tell him to drop, I got to kick that branch down. So I kick the branch down and I put my arms out. And no sooner than I say, Alex, I'm here, his grip lets loose and he falls. And I catch him and he holds on to me for a long time after that. His forearms were scraped up from when he had fallen and the branch had torn up his forearms, and he held on, must have been 20 seconds or more, waiting for me to run around to kick down the branch and then get ready. And I was just amazed that he was able to hold on that long. And the whole time that hike did not last 5 minutes more. He was ready to go home and get cleaned up. And I said to him, I said, okay, well, we'll try this again sometime later, maybe a different hike, and we'll do things later. But I also told him, I said, you know what? I want you to know, Alex, that whenever you need me, I'll always be there, and I'm always ready to catch you if you need help and whenever you need me. And the whole time we're walking back, I was like, wait a minute, this is a good analogy for us today. This is a good story for us. And I want to read for you Isaiah 43, and I think this story will relate to the scripture we're going to read today. Isaiah chapter 43, starting at verse 16, says this. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert, the streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland, to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourself for me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not brought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins, and wearied me with your offenses. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. Your first father sinned, your spokesman rebelled against me. So I will disgrace your dignitaries of your temple, and I will consign Jacob to destruction and Israel to scorn. But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I've chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I've chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. And still another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel. This story starts off with a story of God saying to Isaiah, God saying to the people of Israel, he's saying, remember the story of the crossing of the Red Sea. Remember when I delivered you from slavery. Remember before, as you're going into the wilderness, that it was preceded by a deliverance from the chariot armies chasing against you, that I took care of them. I got around. Do you remember I've been with you in the past? Saved you from slavery, helped you out, and sent you on to the promised land. And here they are in exile. Here they are taken away from their land again and hoping, praying, calling out, desiring indeed to return back to some kind of normalcy, return back to how things could have been or should have been or used to be. And he's saying, do you remember that I have been with you in the past? God has always been with us. And he asks us, would you remember indeed the times in which I have led you before? And then he says to them, he says, would you forget the former things and not dwell on the past? Remember on the one hand that God saved you, but would you forget what has caused you to think that there is no more future and there is no more hope? Forget the things of the mistakes of the past that you dwell on. So I'd asked Alex, I'd said to him, I said, hey, why don't we do this again later in the week? And he had said, okay. I said, you know what? Friday's supposed to be the hottest day of the week, really hot day. And we can take this other trail right around the great pond by our house. And then as we get to the end of the trail, we can call ahead. And there's an ice cream place that just opened up. And we can eat that all the way back. It'll be an awesome hike with ice cream at the end on a hot day. This will be perfect. We were looking forward to it all week. And we were talking about doing that. And the day came. And he's like, no, I'm not interested. I'm like, come on. It's a beautiful day. It's a hot day. Ice cream. Let's do it. No, don't want it. Your mom wants to come too. We're all going to do it. It's going to be fun. No, not interested. And talking with him afterwards, I said, hey, I can't believe you didn't want to do this. We were looking forward to this. Why wouldn't you want to do this? And he says to me, Dad, I was afraid. Last time I went on a hike, I got hurt. And I said, Alex, we don't have to do the things we did the last time. You don't have to climb the same kind of trees as last time. And last time I was there to catch you. And I'll always be there whenever we're out together and to help make sure that you don't get hurt, okay? He's like, All right. But that's what happens a lot of times, isn't it? Is we find ourselves defining what we can do in the future or what we want to do based on how we've messed up in the past or based on how we've gotten hurt in the past. This is often how we define what the future could possibly be for us. Our past likes to creep up on us and then it paralyzes us. It keeps us from being able to move forward. We remember all the ways we've fallen short in the past and say, oh, it's going to be more of the same if I try to continue. I mean, while there is a passage of Scripture that says all have fallen short of the glory of God, the very next verse says this, and all are justified freely by His grace and the redemption that comes from Jesus Christ. I think a lot of times we like to focus on the fallen short part, not only of the verse, but of our lives. Well, I've fallen short, but at least there's a God who still cares about me, but man, I've fallen short. And we just focus and hone in on that and then are afraid to move forward. What if I fall again? What if I get hurt again? But I really can't help but think that what if Paul's iteration of this was not to say, hey, let's focus on where we've messed up. But what if it's this way of saying, hey, you know, we've all messed up, haven't we? We've all fallen short, haven't we? But we're all justified. But the good news is there is forgiveness. We've all messed up. Just last night, I went up to go. I told Jen, I said, hey, Jen, I got these dishes. I'm going to get them done tonight. It's good. Don't worry. You don't have to worry about it. I got this tonight. She said, okay. She trusted me to do that. Well, when I went to bed, I came up the stairs and the light to the kitchen was right there at the top of the stairs. Turn off the light and turn to go to bed. And I walked through a dark kitchen that I could not see and therefore could not be reminded because of my ridiculous memory that I had not indeed done what I had promised I would do. And woke up this morning, I was like, oh no. Oh no. But the good news is, Jen is still wearing the wedding ring, and she is gracious. I can look forward again and again to many of the ways in which we've fallen short. We can do that, and we tend to do that, and then say, okay, this is going to affect the decisions we make in the future. But God has said to Isaiah here, Paul says it in Romans, but remember the grace of God. And so God says to the people, God says, forget the former things. We're not going to dwell on the past because I'm doing something new. For the first time in all of the prophets, Isaiah 40 on, God starts to speak about doing something new in the lives of his people, saying the way in which the world has been going, the way in which sin has been ruling in your life, the way in which things are operating is not the way God intends. God intends for grace and hope and a future for his people. And he says, I am making a way in the wilderness. Just as he did when they traveled through the wilderness from Egypt. Just as we heard last week that would then be borrowed from John the Baptist. He is making a way for us in the wilderness. No more branches breaking underfoot. When we misstep, we won't be the ones who break down. God is saying there is a new way and a new path for us. And God says, we don't have to dwell on this past because if you want to, let's then go ahead. We can hold court. We can do this. And you can lay out the case. And God proceeds to kind of lay it all bare for them. Okay, if you want to make the claim that everything's set, here we go. But I bet if each of us took a moment to remember our sins, if each of us took a moment to remember where we'd fallen short, we could probably come up with a list like he does for Israel here. Mine would probably be a little longer. This is where we would expect then to hear God speak about, okay, now that you've messed up this way, here's how you make things right. Here's the condition for your salvation. Here's what you have to do. This is what I would expect to hear at this point in time. This is the moment when I would listen for the transaction for grace. Okay, God, what do you want me to do then for you to forgive these sins that have been laid out? Yet in Isaiah 43 and 44, the transaction never comes. There is no deal. There's no condition. In Isaiah 44, he just says, listen up. I chose you. I made you. So don't be afraid. You are one who I dearly love. You are my servant. You are the one I have formed in the womb. I am your heavenly Father. This is what he's saying. It doesn't matter how many times you fall. I'm always going to be there to catch us because he chose us, because he made us. I mean, he just wants to walk on this journey of life with us. So much of the story is about God just desiring to walk with his people. I mean, the story of the Garden of Eden talks about God and Adam and Eve walking in the garden together before the fall. You have the stories of God walking with people even through the wilderness as a pillar of fire or their cloud by day. I mean, there are stories again of God just wanting to walk with his people. I think we're going to find out next week at Pentecost Sunday. I think one of the things we'll find out is one of the words for the Holy Spirit, Holy Comforter, the translation for Holy Comfort is a Greek word that means to come alongside, to call someone alongside of you. The Greek words from para and call, kaleo. And just like, hey, he is the one who calls us along. He just wants to walk this journey of life with us, to walk down the path with us and enjoy this time with us. And where there is barrenness or where there is lifelessness, Isaiah 44 says, God will bring forth life. I don't know about you, but I kind of needed that reminder. I mean, it doesn't matter how introverted I am. It doesn't matter how much I can entertain myself with outside lawn maintenance or television or video games or teaching Greek to my oldest son or ancestry research or all those kinds of things. It doesn't matter how much time I spend doing that. All those things are supposed to be extras. All those kinds of things are supposed to be the kinds of things you do to take a break from the regular goings-on of life and the work and the relief. But things are so topsy-turvy now, I just want school and work to go back to normal just so I can get some rest. just so that those things become breaks again rather than patterns. And to that, God says, I will pour water on the thirsty land. He recognizes where we are and he speaks to the people of Israel where they are. And he speaks to us and he says, I will pour out my spirit upon you, upon your offspring, and your descendants. This is grace. It doesn't matter what has happened before to bring us to where we are. It doesn't matter how we've defined ourselves in the past. He says, this is grace that I've just said, my spirit is still going to be with you. You don't have to do anything. I'm going to give you grace. My promise is that you might just learn to live in that grace. To start to say, I am the Lord's. God's been good. God's been gracious. I belong to the Lord. His name is going to be my name. I'm going to take that name as myself. I'm going to call myself one who belongs to God, one who follows Christ. Because God is saying to us, I'm not finished yet with this world, with wherever we are. God's not finished yet. And sometimes I wonder if we're still holding on to the way in which, holding on to the past mistakes, holding on to the previous things we've let define us that God has said that we should forget, afraid, holding on for dear life, afraid because we don't know if God's actually going to catch us. We don't know if we let go of that poor descriptor that we've held on because, hey, that's just who I am. Can we truly trust that God can shape us and change us and form us and do something new in us, that we can be something different than what we've always been? Maybe it's because we've been calling out and we're wondering, what's taking so long? It's been quite a bit of time here and I'm still hanging here dealing with my past mistakes. But perhaps we're still holding on to something that's dead, something that's long dead, something that we thought was all that we needed, but it wasn't life-giving. It wasn't as supportive as we thought. Now we're just holding on, but still holding on ultimately to that which is dead. Wondering, can I still trust the Heavenly Father? Can I still trust that He will be there to catch me? Can I still trust that He will be able to lead me down a path and help me and be willing to be with me, even though I've strayed off so many times and fallen short so many times? And I can say through Isaiah 44 that we can indeed trust in the God who has looked at His people, who again and again, so many prophets were saying what they were doing wrong. And He says to them, look, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on you. I'm going to bring water back to the wilderness. I'm going to straighten out the paths, and I'm going to be your God. I chose you. I formed you in the womb. I care about you. I am your Heavenly Father. And I wonder if we can trust in God and fall into the arms of the one who loves us. To be able to let go of what is dead in our life, to that which is not life-giving, to that which constantly tells us we can't do the next thing or we can't continue on, but trust that God will see us through. To be able to say, there's a God who has so invested Himself in us that we indeed can start to identify with Him and say, okay, I am the Lord's. He has been good. And that our worship and our life is just a reflection then of all that God has done for us. Would we be willing to accept that grace, that salvation, that Father who just wants to catch us and accept Him in our life and along our path and along our journey? It is my hope and it is my prayer that we might be able to say today, God, wherever I am, however unsettled I have been, whether it's because of something I have done or because of the ways, because of where I find myself today, that we might be able to say, God, I'm going to trust that Your promise is still true today and that You are still with me. And that we are going to trust that because He has been faithful, that we are going to say, God, I'm going to look for ways in which I can be faithful this day and this time to You, trusting and following You wherever You lead.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God bless you abundantly as you serve Him today.